This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Powering Through the Pandemic on BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, the business station. My name is Rich Bradbury. This is Powering Through the Pandemic here on Enterprise. You may have heard of this store. The first time I encountered it, it was in Bangsar. Seasibly Arts and Crafts and Stationery. A stationery store, if you like. But it's one of those stationery stores where once you go inside, you kind of get lost for a little while. There's some beautiful paper, there's fantastic pens, there's colors and erasers of a multitude of colors. But of course, things have changed since the MCO. The business has been shuttered during the time being, but that doesn't mean that they are unproductive. They've been doing a whole bunch of stuff behind the scenes. And on the phone with me right now, I have Jason Chen. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right, Richard.
Jason, yes. What's your position over at Seasip Lee?
I'm one of the founder's son, so basically the executive director of Seasip Lee.
Right. So let's get into things a little bit then. Tell me, before the MCO, what was business like before the MCO over at Seasip Lee?
Well, business basically been on a slow trend coming up from the festive season as well. So very soft 2019 for the retail segment. So generally it's been pretty soft, I would say. But we were hoping to go on the uptrend for 2020, but then the MCO came. I think that changed and put a lot of people out of the spectrum in a way. Yeah.
And your business has been running for a long time, right? Is it around 50 years or something?
Yeah, that's right. Zippy has been around for a while. This year, in fact, will be our 52nd year since our inception. Yeah, it was founded in 1968 by our dad. And the business has basically evolved over the years.
And you say it's evolved. How has it evolved over the years?
Yeah, it evolved in a way that from just the first store and still there in books and from the first store in Kajang. Back in 1968, into having expanding it to three stores as of today, both the newest store, one which I just mentioned just now, which is in Bangsar, that was, and the latest one which was added to the group was in Johor Bahru last year. That was our latest store into the portfolio. Evolved in a way that from a book and just a purely book and stationery store, we have evolved into a more of a lifestyle stationery art and a children focused store. Yeah.
I definitely agree with that. I mean, when I've been in there, I've gotten lost for hours upon hours just wandering up and down the aisles. Okay. Yeah. So obviously, you know, the focus has shifted somewhat. In terms of business, what have you guys as a company learned over the last few years?
The last few years, we have learned a number of things, actually. But I think at the bottom of it all is about innovating. Innovating in a way that from our dad perspective, from his point is mainly innovating in innovating in a way that community is always very important in our business. So our community has always been our DNA, as Zippy DNA, and whatever we do or whichever store we set up, we have to blend into the community that we are in. So that's one way that we have changed over the years. Especially one thing that will pop up is the fire that happened in the Bangsar store about 3 years ago in 2016. That really sees how much influence a business can have on the community if we start to work together as a community. You know, we have people coming up to us and say, do you need help or food? People offering help in, you know, removing the rubbish after the fire and stuff like that. So it's been, in a way that we can't just do business for the sake of getting a profit, but it's more of, involving the community as well.
Mm. That must have been a tough time.
There was a tough time, in a way. There was a very tough time. We were also down about 6 months before we came up, reopened the store again. Post 6 months on the track, that's right.
Okay, so my next question is that, you know, it's the kind of store where it's not unusual for people to come in and just kind of spend a lot of time browsing, you know, hanging out, because there is a lot of cool stuff. And of yep. course, with the MCO, you know, how do you expect that to kind of change in the future? How might your business operations change moving forward?
Like you say, Richard, the store that we have for even both Bangsar and Johor in particular, there are people coming in to browse for hours. So on average, for Bangsar stores, customers will spend about 60 to 90 minutes per visit. This is all before the MCO. So post-MCO, I think we're expecting a change in how a customer will come and shop. Right? It will be more of a grab-and-go module where they will know exactly what they want and what they need. So for businesses as well, I think especially as the retail business, there will be more protocol installed in a way that we probably have to look at, you know, crowd control, limiting the number of people in the store, temperature check if we have to for the interim period. That's one of the few changes I think we have to look into. We probably have to really look into the merchandising of the stores as well and how we lay out products. So it really would change the whole dynamic of how a retail, physical retail outlets would be, a post-MCO,
I mean, as we've just kind of alluded to, part of the appeal of Czibli is that it feels mm-hmm. like part of a community. I mean, with how things might change after this, do you worry that this might, you know, change that feel of community? And what are you going to do to kind of ensure that it still feels familiar to people? I mean, people know Czibli. The people that go there mm-hmm. tend to know what it is. And I suspect that you've got plenty of repeat customers. But how are you going to try and retain that sense of community if things have to change drastically?
I think as I said earlier, that well, our business has always been part of the community. We've always built it around the community. That's what our dad has always instilled in us, that the business has to be part of the community. So from the time the community is basically the DNA of Czibli business. So whether it be the physical store or online store or even our distribution division, we will always put our customer first regardless. That will not change. I don't think it will change post MCO. I think it will re-enhance the community building from Czibli point of view. But that said, it will not just stop at the customer level. We're also looking at how we are building the community beyond businesses, in a way, like how we have we're looking at other retail outlets not as the competitors but more of a complement to each other in the community, how we could complement each other in the community. For example, like if you've seen our IG stories, posting the last few days, we are basically focusing on, you know, highlighting other businesses, smaller independent businesses, featuring their stores on our own platform, telling people that, you know, there's other stores out there that might need your support. So I think that's how we will work with different partners, different retail partners as well in a way. For example, in the last 2 years, in fact, we worked with a few retail partners in Bangsar and in Johor. For example, we have worked with Mi Books Asia. They are basically a children app developer. So we came up with children concepts corners where everything, big, good quality children books, big, broad books that you can get overseas. You can find it in both the Bangsar and the Johor outlets as well. So that's how we are working with another. In some point, it could be looking at you're working with your competitor, but we are looking from the point that we are working to complement each other. They have their strength, we have our strength. So that's how we build it up. It doesn't stop there as well. And we're already building it up with two more other retail partners, mainly on the craft side. For example, Craftivity, you probably heard them related to us in the past few days as well. As well, E-Buttons, both of them are quite established in the craft scenes. So we are working with them in a way that we are partnering them for events. We had a craft day in the Bangsar outlet just before the lockdown. So it kind of creates, you know, we are telling them that you can just promote your stores as well at our permit. You know, it's something that's not heard of in the past where you have your competitors come into your store and promote their business. Yeah, so that's how we are looking at maintaining the community feel beyond just the customer base, but as a bigger picture as well.
Very much a case of, you scratch my back, I scratch your back, helping each other out.
Yeah, that's right.
We're going to take a short break. Of course, speaking about community and projects that you're working on and have been involved in, one of the main reasons I wanted to call you was to talk about Project Shields On, which is something that we'll get to just after the break. You are, of course, tuned in to Powering Through the Pandemic here on Enterprise on BFM 89.9.
Be free-minded. BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, the business station. This is Powering Through the Pandemic. I'm Richard Bradbury. On the phone line with me, I have Jason Chen. He's the executive director of CZip Lee. They are a stationery and arts and craft shop. It's a menagerie of wonderment. Now, before the break, we were talking about business pre-MCO, the business being running a long time, and the fact that it feels part of the community. Now, there's a few things, obviously, that we need to address whilst the MCO is going on. Stuff like staffing. You know, let's talk about, you know, the nuts and bolts of things. There's a fair number of staff, I assume, working with you. What are they doing right now, and how have you ensured them about their jobs afterwards? What's the situation?
Well, we have probably about 30 staff in total for both outlets. All three outlets are probably about 50 staff. But most of them will be, basically like most of us, they're having time off at home, you know, spending time with their family, doing things that's not breaking the MCO curfews. But we basically told them really to just stay at home, relax, reset your buttons if you need to, because we'll be restarting very, very soon. But let's say there's a few of us are still working. For example, our e-commerce business, which is like.divi.com, is still actively transacting at the moment. We still have business running that way. So that we still have some skeleton staff that are still running and doing day-to-day admin stuff and fulfillment projects, fulfillment duties, making sure the parcel goes out. Yeah. And also, it's also a time for us on the call level that we could regroup as well and start planning as well. And, you know, we're still not too sure how long this MCO will be going on. So we basically have to replan and relook into the plans that we have for 2020. Most important, we have tried to ensure our staff that we'll maintain them no matter what, because like you said, I mentioned earlier that our DNA of Zigbee is basically the community. So my community doesn't just stop with how the customers and the business partners that we have, but it also involves the staff that works with us, where we treat each one of them like a family as well. So yeah, they are basically a little extended family. So we are working, we're trying ways to ensure them then, and also make them feel secure that they have their job, you know. Post MCA, they'll still be there. We'll still be around to take care of them.
So when you were asked to shutter the doors, and as we know, most small outlets had to shutter the doors unless they were essential services, how did that affect you guys immediately, you know, personally and financially? How are you financially right now, and how did you feel about the whole situation?
Well, the MCO order did come, like you say, it came very quickly, and we did not really literally have much time to dwell on it, but and to prepare on it. So we basically have to reorganize ourselves very quickly. I think on a personal level, I think we all have to play our part to flatten the curve in a small way. But then on financially, of course, we are throwing out questions like, aren't we stationaries, you know, part of an essential as well to keep people insane during the MCO?
You know, the reason that one of the main reasons that I got in touch, firstly, I'm a huge fan of the stuff that you sell, but it was highlighted to me about Project Shields On. And for people who might not know what that is, just give us a little bit of a background as to what Project Shields On is and how you became involved with it.
Right. Project Shields On is basically a project that came about after one of our retail partners that we mentioned earlier, CraftGVT, contacted us for some supplies to make their DIY face shields. So my brother, Elwin, which is also a business partner in the business as well, he saw that the need is greater than just being a supplier for creativity, but also the need at the time that there was a major need for medical supplies and PPEs. And he also been receiving numerous requests from kind-hearted Malaysians who are burdened by the plight of our frontliners. So that is how basically we got the project initiated, partnering with creativity as well as St. John Ambulance Malaysia.
Why did you feel the need to get involved in it? I mean, Craftivity were doing their part. A whole bunch of other people were doing their part. Why did you guys feel the need to get involved?
Because I think it boils down to the DNA that we have as part of the that community is always part of the DNA. So that's why when things like this came up, like the appeal came up, we are straight away touched in a way that we are moved in a way that we feel that we need to help out in a small way to help out the frontliners in a small way. In a small way, it's not really a big deal. I mean, there's more people doing greater things, but I think this is something that we hope that we could contribute back. Because in the past, this is the second time, I think this is the second big major event that we had worked in. The last one we did was the school back to school for the flood victims backing up in Kelantan and Terengganu. That was the other project that we did. But for Project Shoes On, I think it still boils down to the fact that the DNA has already been implanted in us, that we somehow need have the soft heart for the community, then we need to get involved. Because most of them could be our customer in a certain way, or might just be a friend or family of the customers that comes to our store.
And so it initially started with you guys, first of all, raising funds to buy these the face shields, right? Then after that kind of phase, it's all about helping people to DIY these face shields as well.
Yes.
How far away from your goals are you? You know, what numbers are you at right now?
Thanks to the generous support from the community, we managed to raise 60,000 ringgit for 6,000 ready-made shoes in less than 3 days. So these shoes have all been purchased and all been distributed by St. John Ambulance Malaysia to hospitals and basically dire needs, like mainly we call it high volume hospitals like Sungai Buloh, Selayang, Seremban, Kajang, as well as the hospital KL as well. So most of the shoes are all distributed by St. John Ambulance Malaysia. We chose to work with them because also through captivity. Yeah. So that's how St. John Ambulance Malaysia, and we feel that we are obligated as well to report back to the community where the shoes go. So I think St. John Ambulance Malaysia was the best options we had to work with. So details on where the shoes really went could be found on the project website that we have created, which basically is libby.com/projectshoesOn, where you can get all the information on the updates on the project. Yeah. And so if for yourself, for example, you have a lot of places closed, so there will be also a page where we connect community to the right business community for their own supplies for project materials as well.
Great stuff. And in terms of like DIYing the shields and whatnot, is there a number is there a target that you've set?
For the DIY face shields, it's basically led by Craftivity. So we are working with them, raising funds and getting the supplies in. So I think the target was about 10,000 face shields to be produced during this period. If I'm not mistaken, they are up at the 5,000, 6,000 mark. I just had to recheck the website, you know, where the updates are. So all this was just, we're glad that we have started this initiative, this small initiative with InZip and Craftivity, which we see that this project has already spurred a lot more awareness of the need of the PPEs and support for the PPEs and the face shields within the community and greater community. And because we get a lot of requests, not only to us, but also to the business community that we have linked them up with, that they're getting more requests or, you know, I need materials, where do I go for it, and stuff like that.
Right. Were you surprised at the response that you got?
We were really surprised at the rate that how quick the community responded to the plea. You know, it's not, you know, at a time like this, everyone is trying to tie their budget as well and cut down their budget because we're not too sure how long we'll be off getting into the back to the normal real world. So we were so surprised that, you know, generous, funerals, it's going at, the shoes has been going, we were selling the shoes at 10 ringgit per shoe for a contribution because that was the figure we think that, you know, any individual on the street would be able to just contribute and be part of the whole project. Yeah. So, and then we also had bigger donation as well coming in. That's why I think that's why the support from community has been tremendous and really generous from them, that we'll be able to see that he could close the project in three days. Yeah.
Jason, thank you very much for your time today. Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Richard. Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. Yeah. Ladies and gents, you've been listening to Powering Through the Pandemic here on BFM 89.9 on Enterprise. I'm Rich Bradbury. I've been on the phone with Jason Chen. He's the Executive Director of Seasibly, BFM 89.9, the business station.
Powering Through the Pandemic on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.